Hey, welcome to Heights Church. We are so grateful that you're joining with us. Whether you're here in the Prescott area or you're joining us from around the world, welcome to our online family. We want to encourage you to click subscribe and share this message with your friends and family. And we are praying that through this message, God will help you live the life that you were created for in Jesus. Let's get to it.
Good morning, guys. How are we doing today? Yes, I love the energy. You guys are awake, alive, and alert. Love it. If you're watching online, hey, I'm so excited you're here. Welcome. What an amazing way to connect this way. Who would have thought? But what a gift it is. And so before we go into what God has for us today, let's go ahead and pray to get our hearts right. God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for the people in this room, the people who chose to wake up to just be together and worship you, God. God, I just pray that today, whatever you have for us, I pray that we can just hold our hands open to receive that thing. God, thank you for loving us and just bless our time. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so this summer has been really fun for me. This summer, I got to start out by going on vacation, which was actually really, really fun. It was great. So I took a week off and it was fun. I went to Florida. Yeah, went to Florida. My friends Amy and Alex invited me to go to Florida. They had been out there for about a year, and they're like, hey, Sarah, come over, come rest, and come be with us. And I was like, for sure, on my way. Now, to some of you, that's a dream come true. But to me, not so much. I've never wanted to go to Florida. Ever, ever in my life, I've never desired to go because Florida has things that I do not like. First one, alligators. Okay, any water you go into, puddle, lake, whatever it is, gators, gone, right? Everything thrives in Florida and everything dangerous thrives in Florida. And I was not excited. And there's this other thing called humidity and heat, okay? Those of you who have been to Florida, who love Florida, who are from Florida, I'm so glad you're here because the dry heat is a lot better. But Florida was fun. Florida was awesome. I actually ended up loving the trip, and I plan to go back to visit my friends and just get away and rest. It was an incredible trip. And one of the days that I was on this trip, my friend Amy and I were like, hey, let's go to the beach. And I was like, for sure. I'm scared of the ocean, but we're going to make it because I want to go to the beach. So we go out, and it's a beautiful day, guys. The sun is out. It's shining. The water is just, I've never been to the Atlantic. And so it was clear. Like, I could see the bottom of the ocean floor. Like, that was a new thing for me. I've only been to the Pacific, and I do not go into the Pacific, okay? Guess what? Sharks. Like, I'm not going to go in there. So I end up going into the ocean knowing that there's also sharks in this part of the world. And we're swimming, and we see a sandbar kind of offshore, and we're like, ah, let's go over there. And so we're swimming, having a great time. And all of a sudden, my friend Amy goes, hey, Sarah, we're going to want to swim that way. I've used this voice before in my life. I work in youth ministry. And I knew that immediately as she said, hey, Sarah, hey, don't panic. Okay, don't panic. Well, I panicked and I went, yeah, we're swimming in the other direction. So I started paddling really, really hard, okay, with my little feet. And as I'm paddling, I kind of turn around to see what's over there. And a wave comes over, and in this wave, I see this large brown mass, the size of a Mini Cooper, and it's too late for me. I've already started panicking, okay? Whatever it is can smell my panic. And so we make it to the shore, praise God we did, and as soon as I turn around to see and face the thing that was chasing us, I realized it was a manatee. Yeah. Best case scenario, it was a manatee, and I was so relieved. But you could say that I was ready to go home after that. I was ready to go home. But honestly, I'm going to go back at some point. And if I get to see a manatee again, then awesome. Let's do it. But the thing about Florida is, as scary as that was, what I was more scared of was actually going to Florida. And not because of the things that I shared with you earlier. Not because of the sharks or the gators or the snakes. Because we have snakes here and I'm, you know, face my fears every day by going outside. But I was afraid because I knew that God was going to speak to me when I went to Florida. I knew that God was going to show up in some way, because when I was in Florida, I was going to be vulnerable. I wasn't going to be in the same space or in the same environment, right? The same noises that usually preoccupy my time were not going to be there. And in this time, I knew God was going to speak to me, and I was afraid. I was afraid. I was so afraid that last second I bought my plane tickets. My friends were like, hey, you, when are you coming? And I was like, I don't know yet. I haven't bought my plane tickets. I was that afraid of going. And I know that for some of us today, we're afraid of things too. Because we don't know how God is going to respond to things. We don't know what God is going to tell us. And it's easy for us to want to run away. But the thing about God is that God is someone that we can trust, right? God is someone who brings dead things to life. And so I ended up going on this trip, and I knew that I was afraid, but I knew that if God was going to speak, I was going to have to be obedient. And God spoke to me, and it was incredible. And this morning, today, we're going to be in the book of Jonah. And I know some of you, and maybe many of you, have read this book, but today what I want you to do is I want you to just approach this book in a fresh way. Pretend you've never read it before, okay? Okay, no spoiler alerts. But for those of you who haven't heard the story, I'm so excited to journey this with you for the first time. And so if you have a Bible, you can go to the book of Jonah and you can follow along with us. And so Jonah chapter 1, verse 1, it said, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. And so Jonah just up and goes, oh, you're calling me over there? I'm going to go that way. He does a 180 pivot and just goes, I'm going this way, God. Sorry, I'm not going to do that. And he just pivots. And I know a lot of us are familiar with this feeling, because when you're shopping at the grocery store and you see someone you don't really want to talk to and you're kind of looking, you know, you're like, maybe if I don't make eye contact and just go this way, oh, the pineapple section looks interesting. You know, you're like, that they won't see me. And sometimes it gets to the point where you abandon your cart and you just leave the store completely, and you're like, okay, whew, they didn't see me, I'm done, I escaped. But sometimes you don't escape and you get a text message from that person, right? And they go, hey, I saw you at the store, like, I hope everything is okay. And you're like, ooh. And the thing that Jonah forgot as he was running away, and the thing that sometimes we forget, is that when we run away from God, like, there's nowhere to go. Like, he is always there, he's present, like, he is everywhere. And you can't run away from him. And he knows when you're running away from him. And so Jonah runs away. And as he's running away, God's with him the whole time, right? And he sends this storm. And the storm is so violent that it threatens to break the boat apart. And so the sailors are panicking, because they're like, ah, where did this come from? And so they're so panicked that they start throwing anything overboard so that this boat can stay afloat. And it's scary for them. Meanwhile, Jonah, our boy Jonah, is in the bottom of the boat, and he's just taking a little nap. Little nap while there's chaos around. He's just taking a little nap because he knows that he's running away from God. And at that point, he's like, whatever comes will come. And he's just down there. And so the sailors are like, what are you doing? Get up, do something. Like, we're going to die. And so the sailors are there. They're continuing to throw cargo overboard. And they're like, wait, who's responsible for this? Because there's no way that this just happened all of a sudden. And so they asked Jonah, like, do you know who's responsible for this? And he goes, hi, it's me. Like, I'm the problem. I'm kind of running away from God here. And this storm, yeah, it's me. And so then they ask him, like, well, what do we do? Because if you're running away from God, like, what are we going to do then? And so in verse 12, it says, Jonah's responding and he goes, pick me up and throw me into the sea, he replied, and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. And so Jonah knows that this storm is because of him. And at this point, he's like, just throw me overboard because I've messed up. And so they end up throwing him overboard. But here's the thing. Jonah thought he was going to just plunge to his death. But God steps in and does a miracle. Because as we keep reading verse 17, it says, "Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." See, Jonah was in the dark depths of this fish. In the dark depths. And sometimes we find ourselves in the dark depths when we're running away from God. But Jonah encounters God in an incredible way. And he goes, "God, I know that you're there. Please save me." And he prays and he asks God and he has this moment with him. And God's saving him, actively saving him. Although Jonah thought he was dead and it was game over, God is there with him. And in chapter 2, verses 8 through 9, it says, "Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love from them. But I will shout, I with shouts of grateful praise will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord." And so Jonah has this heart change where he goes, "Okay, God, I get it. I will do what you call me to do. I will go to the people and tell them what you've told me to say." And in verse 10, it says, "And the Lord commanded the fish and it vomited Jonah onto the dry land." Now, before we move on, there's something really important that we need to catch, okay? As you guys know, Jonah is running away. He's running away and he's like, okay, everything's just, it's done. And he goes overboard, but God sends a fish to save him. Guys, that's a huge miracle. It's almost as if God is going, "Jonah, you thought you were dead, but guess what? I'm the God who can make dead things alive again. I'm the one who could bring you back to life. I'm the one who can make a whole city come back to life." God is telling that to Jonah. He's showing that to Jonah. And God has done this for us already. He shows this to Jonah and he has done this for us. Right? God has done this for us by sending his son Jesus to die for our sins, who rose on the third day, right? So that we could have life. So that once what once was dead in sin could be made to life again, right? Made in new life with God. And that's the amazing miracle that God is showing Jonah. And that's really exciting. Because there's a promise in that. There's a promise in Jonah and there's a promise for us. And as we continue with the story of Jonah, after that amazing miracle in chapter 3, we read Jonah's response. It says, "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, 'Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you.'" And so Jonah agrees and he goes, "Okay, I'm going to do that." And so in verse 4, it says, "Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown." That's all he says, guys. That's all he says. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown, which he just experienced an amazing miracle with the Lord. And he just goes up there and goes, "Yeah, good luck. 40 more days, you're done." That's all he says. Almost as if he loses hope that these people, like, they're not gonna turn their life around. Right after God is already bringing life to Jonah, he goes, "There's no way that these people are gonna change their mind. There's no way that their hearts are gonna be softened." But praise God that God is who he is. Because in verse 5, it says that the Ninevites believed God. And they turned away from their ways and they repented. They did a 180 switch and they repented. And in verse 10, as we keep reading, it says, "When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened." So he didn't do that. God literally spared their life. And the sad part about this is that Jonah missed it. And it's easy for us to say, like, "Wow, Jonah, like, what are you doing? That was a cool thing that God did. Like, why did you miss it?" It's easy for us to go, "Wow, Jonah kind of sucks," which he's not the best character. But we also got to check our own hearts, because what Jonah does isn't too unfamiliar what we sometimes do. Have you ever been upset when God does something good in the life of someone that you may not like? Because I know I have been that person for sure. And sometimes we get stuck in that thought of like, God, why is something good happening to them? Like, I'm over here putting in the hard work and actually living a good life. Like, why is this happening to them? And we're all so guilty of this. Like, we all do this. It happens. Like, we're sinful people. Like, it happens. And so what Jonah does next should not be a surprise to us, but unfortunately, it's very familiar to what sometimes we do. And so in chapter 4, Jonah ends up going off. He misses a miracle, and he goes off to a hill, and he just sets up camp there. And he's angry, and he's frustrated that these people aren't getting the destruction that they deserve or that he thinks they deserve. And he's angry with God, and he just sits there bitter on a hill. And that's the end of the story. Like, that's the end of Jonah's story. And as I read Jonah's response, it reminded me of a time when in the book of Luke, Jesus is talking and he's sharing this parable with this group of people. And in this parable, there's a man who's a father and there's two sons. And one of the sons is a goody two shoes. Like, he does everything by the book. And the second son is a wild child. Okay, he's a wild child. And he goes off. He takes his dad's inheritance and he goes off and he lives his life in the city and he pursues whatever he wants. He pursues the world. He pursues a life of sin. And eventually he goes, whoa, this isn't right. And he's at the end, right? He's at the end and everything is not working out right. And he realizes, I've made a mistake. I made a mistake. And so he turns back and he goes back to his dad, and his father open arms, like, welcomes him in and is celebratory that his son has come back. Like, an amazing thing had happened and his son came back. And so they all celebrate. Meanwhile, his brother is upset. There's two pictures painted here for us. We have the picture of God just receiving a child who has run away. And we have a picture of the brother who just sits there and is angry. And if you guys go to Luke chapter 15, verses 28, it says, the older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. So he's saying, why are we celebrating this guy who is messed up? I get that he's my brother, but I've been here. I've been putting in the hard work. Like, why haven't you celebrated me? And this brother, his attitude is Jonah. They're both the same. They're both angry, and they both miss the miracle of what God had done. And this brother was me at one point. If you've heard me talk about my family's a little messy. It's a little confusing. Sometimes I get confused when I talk about my family. But that's just, we're a broken family. We're broken people. And so at a young age, my biological parents, they weren't able to really raised me. They struggled with addiction. They had a toxic relationship. They were very abusive towards one another, towards my brother and I, and it just wasn't good. And so at a young age, they lost custody of us, and we ended up being raised by our grandparents. And honestly, they became my mother and my father. They raised us. They took care of us. They introduced us to Jesus. They helped us walk through really difficult things. Like, they became my mother and father. To the point where sometimes I thought about my mom and I was like, she's more like a sister to me. And so as we grew up, you know, my parents raised us. Meanwhile, my mom was in LA and my mom was stuck and trapped in her addiction. She was pursuing a life without God. She just was doing her own thing. And I loved my mom, and so I would pray for her. I prayed for her as a girl. I prayed for her as a teenager. And I for now, as an adult, I've prayed for her for a very, very long time, hoping that God would turn her life around. And in 2019, Easter weekend, it happened. I get a phone call from my grandparents, and they say, hey, Sarah, we got to go save your mom. She's not okay. She thinks people are after her. She hasn't eaten. She's on the streets. Like, we need to go get her. And instead of celebrating, I was in the Walmart aisle getting brownies. I go, no, 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 no. This can't happen. You can't go out and get her. She's not going to change. It's not going to work. She's always going to go back to her life in LA. She's always going to go back to her old habits. Why would you even go? Like, this is going to cost you and it's going to hurt you. Watch her fail. And that's going to hurt me. That was my attitude. And they didn't listen to me because they ended up miraculously finding her. They didn't even have an address. They only had the general direction of where they needed to go. And they found her. And when they found her, they brought her home. And for a whole year, I was like this brother. And I was frustrated and I was upset and I was bitter. And I was just waiting for the other shoe to drop because I really didn't think anything was going to happen. Anything good was going to happen. And I remember reading this passage, and I've probably read this passage hundreds of times. Like, I lead youth ministry. Like, I have read this. I've taught on this. And many times I have identified, like, the brother who runs away and comes back. And God's like, hey, welcome back. And it's amazing and it's beautiful. But this time I found myself as the brother. And as I was reading through this and I went, oh my goodness, I am this brother right now, bitter and angry. I got to verse 31 and it says, my son, the father said, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And when I read that, I felt terrible. And I felt super humbled. And I started to remember the times that I had messed up. I had made a mistake. And God was there for me. And God gave me so much grace. God gave me a new life in him. And in this moment, I realized if that new life was for me, then that new life was for my mom. And not only did I have to believe it, but I had to act like I believed it. So every interaction that I had with my mom had to change. It changed the way that I talked with her, the way that I prayed with her, the way that I went home with the attitude that I had. It just all had to change. It all had to change because I could either be like Jonah, who is like this brother. I could either be like Jonah sitting on a hill, bitter and angry and missing the miracle of God resurrecting someone and restoring a daughter. Or I could be in on that celebration. Those were the two options that I had. And I realized I had to celebrate. I had to change and I had to celebrate that my mom had come back. And guys, this is what God does for us. This is what God does for you. This is what he has already done for us through Jesus. He's already done this. And this is he has a new life that he offers to you. Where he could bring dead things back to life. Where he could bring you and the dead places in your heart back to life. That's who God is. And that's the gift that Jesus offers you. But it starts in the heart. God has already done the work and he goes before you. But all of this change starts in the heart. And that's what God wants. He wants your heart. And then after that, he wants you to follow him in that new life. He wants you to walk that new life with him. And we also have to ask ourselves, okay, God, what are we running from? What are you running from? Because you have to stop running from the thing in order to live out that new life. And so ask yourself, what are you running from? For some of you, it may be that broken relationship that you need to take the first step in trying to reconcile. For some of you, it's probably that addiction or that aisle that you're running to because you're running away from God. For some of you, you've been afraid and you're afraid to step up and lead people to Jesus. You're afraid to share the gospel with them. And for some of you, you're just running from God. And you just need to look God straight in the face and meet him for the first time. Because everything that you've tried has failed. everything hasn't gone the way that you've wanted it to and it's failed. And maybe you just need to look at God and go, God, I surrender. I'm here. And once you ask yourself that, this is the scary part. This is the vulnerable part. You got to bring people in. You got to bring people who have already walked that hard life in. You got to bring wise counsel in to help you walk that out. Because it's hard. At some points, it's going to be discouraging, and you need those people to speak words of encouragement to you. You need those people to pray for you and to help you figure out, okay, God, what do you want me to do with this new life that you have given me? You need that. And the other thing that you need to do is once you've asked God, what am I running away from? And you've sat in prayer and you've sat with people and have been guided. And when God shows up and tells you, this is what I need you to do in order to live the new life, you need to actually go and do what he tells you to do. You can't run away anymore. Even when you're running away, God is with you. But you need to run back to God. And so I'm going to go ahead and pray for us. And as we pray, ask God to show you, God, what is that thing that I need to do? What is it that I need to stop running away from? What do I need to surrender to you? And how can I start living this new life in you? Let's pray. God, thank you so much. Thank you so much for second chances. Thank you that no matter how bad we mess up, that you can still make it right. That you can still bring life to the things that we thought were far beyond repair. God, thank you for that. Thank you for your power. Lord, I just pray today that you just give us the courage and the boldness to follow you and the boldness to stop running away and to look whatever it is in the face. God, I pray for that. I pray that you just give us that. And I pray that we can continue to follow you and walk in that new life that you have given us, Lord. God, thank you for your grace. And Lord, I just pray that whatever it is, that we just surrender that to you today. That we surrender that and that you help us walk out the next steps. In Jesus' name, amen.